Comments made on the Serotalk Podcast Network are those of the individuals and do not represent Serotalk Corporation, its staff, management, board of directors, or third-party resellers.
Everybody, welcome to episode number 18 of That Android Show, and this time it's all about the latest version of Android. Yes, we finally have an Android 4.3 to talk about. We've been waiting for it for a long time, so we have a lot to talk about there. Also, a new media streaming device from Google, new phones, an app review from Steve on Nova Launcher, one of the coolest Android launchers, and a lot more. I'm JJ Meadow.
I'm Access Anna.
And I'm Steve. Actually, my Twitter name has changed. It's now Droidy Man.
Droidy Man!
Indeed. Absolutely.
Droidy Man.
I fancy to change.
Droidy Man. I'm surprised that was available.
I couldn't have Droid Man. It was taken. So I had Droidy Man, see?
Droidy Man. Well, D-R-O-I-D-Y or I-E?
I-E. I-E.
I don't know. Microsoft might sue you for that one.
They might.
Yeah, you might have to think about that. The name might change by showtime. Anyway, so
Steve,
we're going to start out with...
Your wife is a proud woman.
With that being said, let's get into the latest Android news.
All right, Android 4.3 is a minor update, so there aren't a lot of big flashy changes, but it's here finally, at last, yes. So if you want to go through the entire list of changes, you can check out the What's New in Android page or the developer notes. We're only going to cover a few of the things that jumped out at us the most. So one of the new features is restricted environments. And this is so that when you have a tablet and you have different users on it, the owner of the tablet, say mom or dad, can limit or restrict what other users can do. So if you have a child, you might want to limit their access to buying apps on the Play Store, or you might want to cut off the webcam or something like that.
Yeah, in-app purchases was a big one, too. Like, if they have a game, if they're playing Candy Crush, and you don't want them to buy the extra, you know, the extra coins and all that, you can easily block that, allegedly. Only on tablets, though, again, right? Just like the user
parental control, too. Really.
Yeah.
So, another feature is that you can now use low-energy Bluetooth devices. So, this would be like a heart rate monitor, or a pedometer. I notice a lot of people want pedometer apps, so the app could work directly with something like that. And somewhere I was reading that maybe some diabetic apps would work with this. So this has some potential use for our community.
One of the knocks on Bluetooth always has been that it takes up a lot of power. And I'm wondering, some of the newer Bluetooth profiles have sought to eradicate that. So
yes.
You know, you could have used Androids before with things like the Fitbit and other devices, and some of that was through Wi-Fi. Using it through Bluetooth 4 makes it, you know, a lot more practical as a tool.
Definitely.
Yeah, well, I personally find already that Bluetooth doesn't do too much to the battery if I'm using it, for example, on Bluetooth headphones or speakers. So I think Bluetooth 4 improved it a lot.
Nearly as bad as it used
place.
To be.
Yeah. No.
It used to be really bad. I mean, it was really noticeable. Yeah. I don't notice it as much now, but it used to be really bad, I think, in earlier versions. So over time, it seems like they've really worked hard on
And then aside from that, there's, you know, the similar features with Wi-Fi and location sharing, or, you know, location access, pretty much where before, if you wanted to have location services on your phone, in other words, for apps that require that, like Foursquare, you had to have that and Wi-Fi on together. You couldn't kind of just have location services on separately, because that was another thing that was killing power.
Yeah, in fact, one of the new features is what they're calling the Wi-Fi scan-only mode. And what this does is it determines your location by checking access points periodically. And its great advantage is that it's supposed to save battery power. And one of the articles, I think, said it's supposed to make checking with Wi-Fi more accurate. It used to be really, really, really inaccurate. Well, it is now. I mean, in version 4.2 and earlier. So at least this will save battery. That's good. And another new feature is, this is kind of a nifty thing. You know, when you get an incoming call and you touch the screen, TalkBack will tell you to swipe right to answer, swipe left to reject, or swipe up to do a quick response. And what a quick response is basically text that says, like, I'll call you back later, or I'm on my way home, or blah, blah. It's, you know, you have these pre-programmed messages ready to go, and you just basically find the one you want and tap it, and it sends it out. And so in 4.2 and earlier, the quick response had to go through the main messaging app. And now in 4.3, developers can choose to set up their own messaging apps so that the quick response uses, say, HandSent or GoSMS.
Or even something like WhatsApp, I guess, would work the same way, right?
WhatsApp, yeah.
HandSent already works, Anna, in 4.2, because HandSent, you can actually disable the messaging app.
Oh, does it work for quick response also?
Yeah. Yes, it does, yeah.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. The developer hacked around it, obviously, yeah.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, there are some changes that do affect accessibility. They're all under the hood kinds of changes, but I think that they are a lot more powerful than it sounds to us non-techie types.
You saw an email on iCE3, you guys did today. So we're starting to see, we kind of have this interesting thing when new versions come out that we kind of have this little treasure hunt to figure out what's new before we get the official list. So you guys have seen some TalkBack stuff in 4.3 so far that really hasn't been announced.
Yeah, like there have been speeds, more speeds, slow, fast, very fast, faster, even faster, rapid, more rapid.
we had like 5 speeds and now it's like 8 or 9 or something. Well,
that's
just
good.
A
that
lot.
Was needed.
Yeah. Yeah. I just wish they'd give us a slider, just like some of these reading apps, you know, from 0 to 100%.
That makes a lot more sense. I don't get why they haven't done that by now.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people don't know how to use sliders.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so this is probably...
That's not as silly of an answer as it sounds, actually.
But some of the accessibility changes are these. So we have handle key events. And what this does is it allows your accessibility service-based input devices. So in theory, what this does is it can let the developers of TalkBack and BrailleBack and other screen readers and Braille services use keystrokes for things that you could do on screen. So in theory, this should lead to better keyboard support.
They're called on-key events.
For the
developers among us, they're called on-key events.
And so in theory, this should give us more keyboard support. A lot of people really like using the hardware keyboard or the Braille display, and so this should make experience.
And I was wondering about that. I don't know if Braille specifically is affected, because it seems like BrailleBack has some sort of workaround, because there's already some keyboard commands in BrailleBack. So this might lean more towards hardware keyboards. And yeah, like you said, Steve, it's a key hook. So anyone,
I think what it will do, JJ, from what I understand, is it'll allow people to not have to use two-finger gestures when they're using keyboards. Like with Flexi, they have to, you have to suspend TalkBack for the betas of Flexi and or use two-finger gestures and things like that. And I think what it will do is they'll allow you to disable Explore by Touch in the keyboard area, if you like. So that people can use
actually, I think
gestures.
That's covered in something that's called Declare Accessibility Feature, and
yeah, you
it
could be
says
right, actually,
that
yeah.
that does is the accessibility service or the app has to specifically say we want to use this particular accessibility service, and one of the examples they mentioned is that you can, for example, turn off Explore by Touch. So I think in apps like Flexi or like some of the Braille input apps that people have tried to develop, like the, Braille Touch or something, I think they'll have the option of programmatically turning off Explore by Touch so that the
I think it will certainly open it wider for us, yeah.
So we can talk about this a little more now, because Flexi is in a public beta on the Android side now, and it does seem like there's been some difficulties in getting the TalkBack support to work the way they would want and the way we would want it. And it seems like some of those limitations did exist in 4.2 earlier, and perhaps that gets around some of that. Because like you said, you have to turn off TalkBack to use Flexi, which kind of defeats the purpose. So Flexi might ultimately be a 4.3 and up thing when we finally get the, you know, for true accessibility.
And
not really, and people are quick to blame Flexi for that. I don't think that's their, fault, really. No. I think there were some limitations in the framework that had to be addressed.
Right.
Yeah.
But it sounds like they got to the right people, if it was them that had a part in this.
Definitely.
The keyboard thing is interesting, too. So you could theoretically, for hardware keyboards, so you could do, you know, global commands. Like if you wanted to do, you know, control whatever, or, you know, to turn on and off TalkBack or
like granularity.
Yeah, there's a lot of different things that you could do there. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely potential.
Yes. Well, one more accessibility feature that is one of the under-the-hood things is select a text for copy and paste. Now, the interesting thing about this is I'm not sure that it actually refers to text selection as in when you're editing text, because it talks about giving the ability for developers to allow for text selection between nodes. So I'm not sure if this actually means in the long run text editing, that type of text selection, or if it refers to things like selecting email messages and letting TalkBack announce that these are highlighted or selected for like a batch delete or something like that. And the last interesting thing that is listed in the developer notes for 4.3 is UI automation. And these are APIs that allow you to inspect the screen content and inject arbitrary keyboard and touch events. The other part that's really interesting is it allows developers to get a sense of how people interact with the screen so that they can provide these additional bits of feedback or types of controls for accessibility. Mm. So in theory, it sounds like this should help developers make their apps accessible. And I mean, this should be a kind of practical help for them.
There was one outside of accessibility that I thought was kind of interesting that could have some implications for us. Apps can now subscribe to notifications from outside of their app so that you can get a lot more control over, pretty much you can get notified when there's a notification. That's kind of meta, but and you know, and get lots of information about said notification, which means there's a lot more possibilities for perhaps creating apps or services that will read certain types of notifications or, you know, do certain things with them when they come through. So that's another possibility that looks like it was opened up.
I was kind of surprised I didn't see anything about cloud notifications, because I heard that Google were going to do cloud notifications so that if you cleared your notifications on one device, they went away on all your devices.
Right, that was an
I.O.
thing.
I haven't seen anything about that.
It was mentioned at I.O., and so I'm not sure if that was
at the I.O.,
3, or if that is just going to be in under Play Services.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
but
it sounds
good
more like Play Services to me, so who knows?
We've mentioned this before, but it's worth repeating. You notice Google is moving a lot more things out of the operating system. Really, this update, why it might seem a little underwhelming, it's because, well, it is. And most of your major Google services now are being updated independently, including Play Services, which is a core Android component. So most of your updates, everything from Google Search to Maps to Chrome, are all their own apps now. Some of them download automatically. Some of them come from the Play Store. And a new OS, this isn't like iOS where all the new features come at once. We're getting incremental updates all year now.
And
the reason they're doing that is to backtrack it.
Absolutely. And it addresses the whole problem of, you know, I'm on Verizon and my update comes 6 months from now. And so I'm having to wait. You know, I don't have to wait for that much, which is cool.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's right.
So it's a fundamental difference in philosophy. And I definitely see why they've gone this way. I like it a lot more as far as, you know.
So do I.
There's always something new. I mean, and hey, it makes for a more interesting show for us because it's something to talk about.
TalkBack is a prime example because it's a separate component. There are new versions of it pushed almost every month, aren't there?
Yeah. 3.4 is in the Play Store now. And several new features again. You guys have been playing with this.
Yeah. There's not a lot really new to say about TalkBack 3.4 as far as I can tell.
Well, 3.4 is what gained the auto-scrolling, and that was definitely...
The auto-scrolling, yeah. That was because it was in beta, and we've seen it for a little while. But yes, that gained the auto-scroll, which is switchable, which is really good.
So pretty much, for anyone who's not familiar, if you're in a long list of items, now if you start keep swiping right, in most situations, if it's programmed right, you will keep going down the list. And that was something that was kind of missing. And it's cool that you can turn it on and off as well.
Yeah.
Another new thing in the current TalkBack has to do with the way text granularity is handled. In the world of Android, granularity is what we know think of as reading levels, you know, scroll by character, word, line, etc. And so there used to be a rapid up-down or down-up gesture that you would do to change granularity, and you would repeat this to cycle through the various levels. And the new TalkBack gives you the option of using that, but the developers seem to be wanting to go to a different model. And so you go into the local context menu, you draw a vertical line up and then a horizontal line to the right. And then you draw a circle to change granularity and draw another circle to actually select the level of granularity. And so that caused a little bit of a stir because it's a very different way of doing things. And I've been trying really hard to use this new way. And I think at first I felt like I could get used to it. Now I'm finding it increasingly annoying. And so I'm kind of waiting to find out what 4.3 offers. Maybe we do have text selection and maybe this is part of the grand scheme of things. But right now, I want to scream every time I have to draw that damn second circle.
I prefer it. And I'll tell you why I prefer it. If you're flicking up and down to or down and up to granularity levels and you've got 7 or 8 granularity levels and you've got to get back to the one you want, it's much quicker to go up and right into the menu and round a circle than to do, you know, 3 or 4 flicks if you're in the middle of it.
Oh, I agree. You know? But when you're editing, two circles is the thing that we need to get rid of that first circle. We just do because I feel like I'm in hell. And each circle.
No, I love it. I actually love it.
Anyway, so I'm being patient. I'm being a good girl until we know what the deal is with why that's done. I mean, there's obviously got to be a big plan, you know. And speaking of TalkBack, now an IceFree list member posted some changes he's noticed in TalkBack/the framework. And one of them is, as Steve and JJ mentioned earlier, we have a lot more speeds. We used to have pretty much slow, normal, fast, and faster. Now we have very slow, slow, normal, fast, faster, very fast, rapid, very rapid, fastest. Okay, so another thing he noticed is that in the past, if you checked or unchecked a box in a list, focus would jump back to the top of the list. Now, I specifically never noticed this because I tend to explore, but people who swipe really noticed this because they'd have to start swiping from the top, or people who use keyboards also noticed this.
This comes up in Nearby Explorer a lot. Yeah. When you're trying to check and uncheck items that are being spoken. And I think there was some focus issues there. So I think that's where some of that came from.
Well, but, you know, very recently, just last week, I started trying to use a keyboard with my device. And I'll tell you, learning to use the screen was very hard for me. It took a 2 or 3 months to really feel comfortable with it and feel like I'd made the transition completely. And so now that I was experimenting with the keyboard again, it's a whole different experience, and I can totally imagine how annoying it would be to have to go back, you know, through the entire.
Well, there's also a lot less emphasis on making sure everything is focusable in some of the newer apps. Now, backtrack to this whole keyboard thing in 4.3. We certainly have the possibility now, if they want to remap the arrow keys instead of using the old accessibility focus to just, you know, making a right arrow be a swipe right, et cetera.
Right.
And maybe that's where we end up eventually. I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, that'd be cool. That'd be cool. And the other thing that our list member Alan noticed was that in the new TalkBack in 4.3, there was this really annoying bug that if you were entering a number on the dial pad, and that had two fives in it, let's say. And when you hit the second five, it would add a third five. And so he says that seems to have been cleared up. So it sounds like there are these little changes, but they are noticeable and they're good. And so I can't wait to get my my 4.3.
Well, you could always download the image.
So if you have a Nexus...
Put it on now.
If you have a Nexus 7, 10, 4, presumably the Galaxy Nexus, the unlocked one, you pretty much can get it now. And it's hitting some other phones. It's going to hit those other Google phones soon. And the new Nexus 7, the second gen one, I'll probably buy one of these because I like buying new things. It's available pretty much now. Whereas, by the time this show hits you guys, it's pretty much available. $229 for the 16 gig, $279 in the US for the 32. And there's also an LTE version, which will work with, say, Verizon's LTE and AT&T and T-Mobile's, not Sprint. Sorry, Sprint. And a couple of cool things, like I guess could matter for us, a 5-meg rear camera, or a 5-megapixel rear camera. So that's cool for some of the image-based apps that wouldn't really work before.
Wireless charging. Samsung.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wireless charging, definitely a better display, perhaps a little bit better battery life. What else do we see? I mean, faster processor.
Yeah.
It's about as much as you expected. You mean, you're going to expect a huge, crazy update, but it kind of just refreshes the specs, further ahead of the iPad mini as far as display.
Yes, I noticed that the description said it had like the highest definition display ever.
For its size.
So it's for its size, yes. And so it sounds like this device will be available at ordinary retailers in the U.S., places like Best Buy and GameStop and Walmart. But it will be available internationally in France, the U.K., Germany, Japan, Canada, and Spain and Australia.
Maybe so, by September-ish.
In South Korea. It'll be available to a lot of people.
Yep.
So I should have one by the next show.
I probably shan't buy it because I'm okay with my one. And, I'm not going to buy it just for a 5-meg camera.
Other than the camera and a couple other things, if you have the current one, I don't see a huge reason to upgrade at this point.
No.
There may be a point where new updates don't make yours that will make the new one. But, the current one's going to get 4.3 and it's going to get updates for the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the camera would be the only reason. Like, if you don't have a device with a good camera, you might want it for that.
Yeah. I pretty much sold my Nexus 7 in anticipation of getting a new Nexus 7. So I'm just playing that
game.
You are
a smart man.
Yeah.
Well, and speaking of gadgets, JJ, what else are you expecting?
I am getting a Chromecast. So this was the other thing that was announced at the Android event. And it's pretty much, the simplest way to put it is it's Google's answer to AirPlay and kind of making up for the debacle known as the Nexus Q, which I finally sold.
I have a Q. It is a monument.
It's a good paperweight, right?
It is beautiful, man.
So here's what it is. So the Q. No, we're done with the Q, right? the Chromecast. It's pretty much a little dongle, and it is tiny. It's about 2 inches long. It looks like a little oversized thumb drive. You have an HDMI port on one end that sticks out, and you have a micro USB port on the other end. The only reason the micro USB port is there is for older TVs that will not power via HDMI. The latest HDMI standard can also include power, which will power the Chromecast. But if you happen to have an older TV, it does come with a micro USB port to also provide power. So it's pretty much...
That's good to know.
Yeah. So if you have a newer TV, you're fine. Mm-hmm. So it's a pretty much... it runs a version of Chrome, but what it runs really doesn't matter to us because you're not actually accessing... There's no interface to this thing per se. It's all under the hood. You control it via your Android or via your iPhone, via your even via a Chromebook or Chrome running on Windows or Mac.
Windows 7, that too, yeah.
Yeah. So, that's the thing. So, there's your first one up right there on AirPlay is you can control it on any device. So, if you have a household that has both Android and iOS devices, you're going to be able to control this from both. So, it will currently it does YouTube, it does Netflix, It does Google Play. Pandora is coming, and many other apps will be coming because there is an SDK and a developer toolkit for it. The setup seems to be quite straightforward. It creates its own Wi-Fi hotspot for the purposes of setting it up. You get the Chromecast Android app, which we will link to in the show notes. I already got the app. The app looks fine. It's just a really straightforward setup app, so it should be accessible at least on Android. It'll find your Chromecast. You get the Chromecast onto your Wi-Fi network, and you are connected. So then pretty much what it is a streaming media receiver. So where with AirPlay, you are actually casting from your phone and sending data from your phone to the receiver, like your Apple TV or whatever. With the Chromecast, you are pretty much telling it to load a stream. So if you're watching a YouTube video and you want to watch it on your TV, you hit the Chromecast button, which will only show up, by the way, if you have a Chromecast. So you hit the Chromecast button on YouTube. It'll pop up on your Chromecast, which will, you know, hooked up to your TV. And then you can do whatever you want on your phone. So the Chromecast is actually the one doing the streaming at this point. You can do anything else. You could leave the house and the video will still be playing on your Chromecast. You can control volume from your phone. You could actually set up a video playlist if you wanted. So same thing with Netflix. If you could set up a movie for the kids, like, all right, here you go. And then there it goes. It's loaded. And then you can go do whatever you want onto your Chromecast. The really cool thing about this, $35. So just to play with, that's cheap. Oh, Apple TV is $100.
Yeah.
It's light. It's really light. It's just going to hook up, plug right into your TV. And I'd be interested to see the development of this. Like I said, it's already open for developers, so I would expect to see much more support. The apps that are missing now, like the majors, like the sports apps or Spotify or, you know, Pandora, I would expect those to be coming soon, sooner than later. The only thing it's missing compared to AirPlay is local media streaming. Now, there might be a third-party app at some point that'll come around that limitation, but right now that is probably your biggest miss, or thing that's missing. Mm-hmm. So there you go. Chromecast, I have one coming. They're in the Google Play Store, but they sold out. They're in Amazon, but they sold out. You might find one at your local Best Buy. By the time this show comes out, there might be more coming in stock. So, you know, keep an eye out. If you missed it in the initial wave, there'll be more back in stock in the next week or two or three. And we'll be talking, I have one to play with by next show.
Totally cool. Mm. And our last news story of the day is that we have a new Brailleback beta. The cool thing is
that Brailleback... Try saying that five
times fast. Exactly.
Brailleback beta.
So the one cool thing is that it now supports more displays. JJ, do you have the list?
I do. For those of you who still happen to have an Alva BC640, oh yeah, way on the cutting edge. there actually are some cool ones besides the 640 and the 680. I never knew there was a BC680. The Sika,
yeah, there is, yeah.
40 cell. They mentioned the 40. They don't mention the Mini specifically, but I'm assuming that would work as well. And pretty much all the Handy Techs. So that's probably the biggest one out of the list.
Yeah,
the Braille Star, the Braille Wave, the... No, the Braille Star is a USB display, but the older ones are.
No, the Braille Star, the new one has gone, yeah. Yeah.
Right. The new ones are Bluetooth.
Yeah.
The active Braille, the basic Braille, so all those are in. We're still missing Baum, and a couple others, but we're almost there. We almost got them all now.
Yeah.
Now, it's got some really cool new features. Some are just not as exciting as others, but the cool features are there's now a jump to top and jump to bottom command, which is good. That's very practical and useful.
Right, it matches TalkBack.
Yes. And then when you're in Chrome, there are commands for going to the next and previous section or list item or control, which is cool. But I think the coolest part of all is that there is now a search feature.
Yes. So... Yes. Eventually, you can type in a few letters of something that's on the screen, and it will jump to said item. I want to see this come over to TalkBack with keyboards.
Oh, yeah, that'd be cool. Totally. So, again, this is in beta. It just came out. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My question with that, the search feature, if you have a long list view of 500 items, will it search the whole thing, or will it just search what's on the screen? Because if it will search the whole thing, that makes that even cooler. Yeah.
Yeah,
well, I think, you know, I have the feeling this is like back in the day when we had our, you know, our old keyboard phones, you know, and Android 2.2 and 2.3, you know, you could pretty much just start typing anywhere and it would search. So I'm assuming this is the same kind of thing, you know, like I remember going into contacts and I would just type like JJ and your name would come up, you know, that kind of thing.
You can do that now, can't you?
If you had a keyboard.
Well, but you have to tap the search box, whereas here you
wouldn't necessarily have to do that. Depends on the app.
Depends
on the app.
Yeah.
So this would make it work in any app. So
Yeah.
If you have like a list of 274 ringtones, well, again, we'll see if it works through list views or Chrome pages. Yeah. But
yeah. Mm-hmm.
A lot of these new features, you never know. Like sometimes it takes a little bit for them to get implemented, right? But hey, again, public beta. And Google has shown in the past that they're quite receptive to your ideas. And so if you get this beta, if you have a Braille display, play with it and then go to the i3 list and let people know, you know, let them know what you think.
Absolutely.
Because they definitely listen, as evidence was this whole granularity thing. You know, they definitely do listen to your feedback.
And remember to make your feedback constructive, people. You know.
Yes, please.
Explain what you want changed and why rather than just venting.
Like, this sucks. I want it the old way.
Yeah.
Which brings us to our discussion of the new Play Store on the PC.
Oh. Really? I'm like the new one a lot better.
I'm fine with it. I like it, but that also caused a great deal of controversy. Basically what happened is that the Play Store has been redesigned on the PC.
It's better.
I think so. I think the biggest change is the lack of headings. And I did like the headings. They were very helpful.
There should be headings.
I could just jump.
Or landmarks or something.
We need them, yes.
Yeah,
But beyond that, I think it's, I don't know, once I got over my initial, wow, this is different. The world is no longer flat.
The install, like, doing the install and all that stuff. Those buttons seem to be a lot more labeled and everything now.
Yeah. And they work just fine. But it is a very different screen. It is accessible, but you need to spend a little time with it to learn it.
Just give us some headings. I love how they add heading and list navigation in Chrome, and then their own sites don't use it. That's interesting. So hey, so on the next TIS, we're gonna have a lot more about Android 4.3. I'm sure we'll have it. At least one of us will have it running on something. We'll have that. We'll have a Chromecast. So we'll be a lot more hands on probably with the next episode. So definitely, come back and we got a lot more coming up on TIS 18, including Mailbag and a review of Nova Launcher. So stay tuned.
This is a review of Nova Launcher for Android, and I only have the free version. There's a lot more you can do with the pro version, like defining gestures. There's not a lot to say about Nova Launcher because it looks so much like the regular launcher. So, for example, if I swipe left with two fingers, and if I swipe right, okay. Now, one thing, there is an anomaly here. I'm actually reviewing this on the Galaxy S3. And I'm using Nova Launcher on both the Galaxy S3 and the Galaxy Nexus. Now, the odd thing is that if you have a menu button, when you press the menu button, you can bring up various options like this.
Showing four items.
Now,
wallpaper.
Manage apps, which app is quite good because that takes you into the app settings thing.
Nova settings,
which you can get into because it's a separate app anyway. And
System settings.
Now, there seems to be, unless I'm mistaken, no way to get to that on the Galaxy Nexus because, being like the regular launcher, it doesn't have a more options button on the Nova home screen. So you can't get to these extra settings with the menu. So if, for example, you want to go to Nova settings, you have to go into the app, or you can put Nova settings on one of your home screens. In fact, it does that when you install it. When you first install Nova Launcher, really nice thing about it is it asks you if you want to import from another launcher. And if you say yes, and you say you want to import from Launcher, it'll bring over all your icons that you had on your original home screen. Unfortunately, I'm going to disappoint JJ because I still haven't found out how to delete a home screen from Nova Launcher. I don't know how to do that, unfortunately. But there are some advantages with Nova Launcher, because in the current system of Android, when you want to delete an item from the home screen, you can't easily, because you have to double tap and hold and then drag to the top, and you have to drag just to the right place to delete the icon, otherwise it stays there. So it's quite tricky to actually delete a home screen icon from the regular stock Android screen, and I wish they'd done it like Nova. This is a good thing, and I'll demonstrate this to you, because home screen free. I don't want to
Sky Plus.
Let's see.
Facebook. RSP Big Eye. Facebook.
There you go. If I want to delete Facebook from my home screen, I just double tap and hold, and you hear that noise. And we now get options. Now, listen to this.
Uninstall. App info.
App info.
Tap to select.
Uninstall.
Nova settings.
Nova settings. So you can go into Nova settings from here, in fact. So it doesn't matter that too much that there's no options. I didn't realise that. And the other one is
Spotify.
Nova settings is actually on the home screen. Sorry, I didn't. So I got that wrong. Yeah. So what we've got is from bottom to top. We've got uninstall, app info,
remove,
edit. Now the difference between uninstall and remove is that remove just removes the icon. So if you double
tap to select,
it's gone. That icon is now gone from your home screen. And you can do the same with folders as well, which you can't do with the stock Android app, Home Launcher. So that's pretty good. From the menu on the S3, certainly, you can get into Nova settings, and you can also get into uninstall an app directly from the home screen as well by double tapping and holding and selecting uninstall, which is quite nice. It has all the usual things. I'm not going to go through all the settings because there are so many settings. And to be honest, I don't understand them all because a lot of them are visual. But I will take a brief look at the Nova settings. So if we go into Nova settings.
Desktop, home screens and wallpaper.
See, if we go in here.
Desktop, desktop grid, grid size for apps and widgets on the desktop. Width margin, margins on left and right. Height margin, margins on top and bottom touch bar, search and voice search bar on all home screens.
Now that's good because you can say yes or no to that. And if you say no, you won't get the voice search on your home screens.
Search bar style. Show shadow at top and bottom of home screens, quantity and arrangement of screens.
You can rearrange the home screens there. You might be able to delete them, but I haven't found that out yet.
Transition effect, home screens, auto scroll. Scroll effect, transition effect when scrolling between home screens. Wallpaper scrolling, scroll wallpaper when scrolling your mess screen. Infinite scroll, continuously scroll.
So yeah, there are loads and loads of customizations here. That was just in one option, which was desktop, home screens and wallpaper. We've got draw, app and widget draw, dock,
folders,
look and feel.
Also, gestures and buttons,
gestures and button, which is to do with the Prime version of Nova, which means that you can assign gestures to certain things.
Unread counts, unread badges for dock, draw and folder icons.
Now that's interesting because you can set it to or not to give you unread counts for messages and things like that. New apps, that's where you change whether you want them to be placed on the home screen when you install them or not. And there are loads of settings like that. So it's infinitely customizable. But the main reason I wanted Nova over the other ones, certainly on the Galaxy S3, if you go to the stock or TouchWiz, when you swipe like this,
home screen four of six.
It doesn't announce which home screen you're on, and you get no feedback. You don't get the noise from TalkBack either. So you could only know by feeling around the screen what home screen you were on. And that was my main incentive for going for Nova. And then I discovered that you could delete icons from the home screen just by, you know, double tapping and holding and then selecting remove, which is quite nice. So, yeah, there's quite a few settings there. You can even set it to not show the notification bar. Why you'd want to do that, I'm not sure. But if you do that, you won't even see the signal strength and the battery strength and all that, because I tried it and it's weird. You don't even see them at the top. So you could, in theory, have your whole screen dedicated to icons, I think. You can decide how many items you want to allow in the dock. You can say how the dock is arranged, what size the icons are in the dock, and so on. So if you're low vision, there may be a lot of stuff in here for you as well. Anyway, that's a brief overview of Nova Launcher. I hope it's been useful. There's not really, as I say, a lot to say about it because it's pretty much like the launcher. The other thing I will say is the nice thing is that if you go into Nova settings somewhere, can't find it at the moment, but if you go into Nova settings, you can actually change your default launcher from in there. So you don't have to go into settings and apps and clear data and all that stuff. So you can actually reset it back to your home screen, your regular launcher, or Nova to be the home screen. So you can actually switch between the two without having to clear data and mess around like that. I think they've done a really good job on Nova. I've seen no reason yet to buy the premium version. Probably I might do if I can discover more about the gestures, because you can set up your own gestures within Nova itself to do things on the home screen over and above what you can do with TalkBack and things like that. But if we go to the top, as I say, as normal.
Download complete image to new messages image. Your e-bill is now ready to view in my e.
There you go. And you've got all your notifications as normal at the top. Everything looks the same. You've got search and you've got voice search. And then you've got all your icons and your default home screen is home screen 3. But you can set your default home screen to whatever you want. Again, you can do that in settings. So if you really wanted your home screen, your default home screen to be number 1, you could change that. Hope that's been of some use. It's, as I say, it's quite a kind of uninteresting review in a sense, because it's nothing really exciting. There's not a lot you can say about a home launcher. But these features alone, like allowing you to delete icons just by selecting remove rather than having to drag, make it worthwhile in itself. If you've got a Samsung phone, it's certainly worthwhile because you can avoid the TouchWiz thing and you can have a Nova Launcher look just like a stock Android home screen launcher. So I like Nova Launcher. I really enjoy using it and being able to manipulate items. As I say, I still haven't found out yet how to delete home screens, but then I haven't really looked because I haven't really needed to do it. Hope this has proved a little bit useful to some people. And as usual, if you've got any questions, send us an iReport or get back to us on The Android Show or on Our Place, where I'll probably show it as well on my own podcast, Our Place.
Freedom of speech.
For all speech synthesizers.
This is the Serotalk Podcast Network.
Some statistics are surprising. Some are unbelievable. And some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%. And that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, push them a little, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Hey, everybody. I'm Jamie Pauls from the Serotalk Podcast Network.
And I'm Joe Steinkamp from the Serotalk Podcast. And we are all over the place, aren't we, Jamie?
We certainly are. As a matter of fact, we are going to participate in an Access chat on August 6th. It's a Twitter chat, as a matter of fact. If you'd like to participate, you follow the hashtag AccessChat. It's sponsored by Fedora Outlier. That's www.fedora.com. So when is this going to take place, you ask? Well, it starts at 8 p.m. Eastern, again on August the 6th. Joe, what else do we have coming up?
Well, we're also going to be on Accessible World. Lisa Salinger, our own Lisa, is going to be there on August 19th. And that's going to be sometime around, 8 p.m. Eastern time. And you can find that in the Pat Price Tech Talk Training Room. Oh my gosh, lots of teas. And again, accessibleworld.com. Find Lisa talking about the new SAMNet Socializer. In fact, you can hear about that right now on, Main Menu. Check out Main Menu. We were featured in June and July's episodes. And don't forget, all of our convention audio is now up. 5 amazing specials plus 2 specials on the HIMSS event. Check it out at www.cerotalk.com.
If you want to keep up to date with everything going on with the Cerotalk Podcast Network, follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/Cerotalk.
It's time once again for the That Android Show Mailbag. If you want to get a hold of us, resources at cerotalk.com. Of course, you can leave us an iReport. You can do that through iBlink Radio. You can also go to thatandroidshow.com, That Android Show on Twitter. So actually a lighter month this time. We got a few. Let's start with an iReport from Jane.
Hello, this message is for That Android Show. My name is Jane, and I have a Nexus 7 in front of me. Great review, by the way, and great app choices for the last podcast. The question I do have is, what if somebody does not like the default home screen? Can you talk about launchers a little bit? There is Nova Launcher and Apex Launcher, and of course, you know, other launchers available. And also, apps for note-taking. Are there any good ones out there? I am a student, and I bought a Nexus 7 for note-taking. So far, I've gotten UNote and ColorNote, and that's the notes I have. And also, for more Braille display support, I do have a BrailleNote Apex. Unfortunately, it is not compatible with the Nexus and BrailleBack. But I was wondering how somebody can talk to the developer on Android. I know in iOS that's easy through the App Store, but I'm dealing with the Play Store, and I don't know how to contact the developer and ask him for that. BrailleBack is developed by Ice Free Project, and are there any other input methods, like to enter Braille on a tablet? Thank you.
Thanks, Jane, for the iReport. So you asked a couple things here. Note-taking apps. I've used OI Notepad, which is one that's been around forever and ever. It's simple. I wish it did a couple of things, but hey, it's really simple as far as just typing a note.
Yeah.
Save. Yep. What do you guys have?
Yeah, I also use an app called My Notes, and another app that I have is called UNote. And also, if you have Dropbox on your device, it has a simple note-taking app as well.
So why do you use UNotes and MyNotes as well as OI Notepad, Anna? What do the others do for you that OI Notepad doesn't do?
Well, UNote, I like lists, and UNote organizes things into lists. MyNotes does the same thing. I have MyNotes on just mostly for giggles. Oh. But UNote is my list, my official list-taking app. I have lists of all kinds of useless information. And Notepad, okay. I tend to use for bigger chunks, you know, like a mini journal or that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You can also, with Google Voice Search /Google Now, you can do Note to Self. And you can pretty much record a message. It'll transcribe it and email it to you.
Yes, that is a
So yeah, if you just say Note to Self, feature. Be sure to pick up the mail tonight. I will send you an email with that. So that's another thing that you can do.
Excellent.
Oh, and the BrailleNote Apex, well, they support the Brilliant, but they don't support the Apex yet. I know HumanWare is working on that, so I'm not sure if that's on HumanWare's end or Google's end, but they keep adding more Braille displays, as we talked about earlier, so it's probably coming. You certainly could write HumanWare's sales people, support people. You might get an answer. They might have some insight there that we don't.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it never hurts to write to the Braille display manufacturer. I have a Sika, a mini Sika, and I wanted it so bad. And so I had like a personal campaign to get the mini Sika. Android compatible, and I would write pathetic, long pathetic emails to the Sika people, and so eventually they caved to my powers of persuasion. So it's always a good idea to.
On the other hand, I've got an ESIS 12 from Eurobrail, and that was supported in the very first version of Brailleback. So there,
right, and the rest of us were kind of going, "What the heck is an ESIS 12?"
Yes.
Is that the same as the Braille pen, or is it different?
No, it's different. The Braille pen has plastic. The Braille pen has plastic Braille like the Seekers. But the ESIS 12 has nice, sharp metal. So the difference being
the ESIS
Braille
is actually a quality product.
Yeah. It's quality product. Anyway. Yeah, it is, yeah.
You know, when you're paying a couple thousand bucks for it.
It's the best 12-cell Braille display I've seen, actually, I have to say.
Of the two or three that exist.
Yeah, and it's well-supported.
You know, there's really a gap. I'm looking at all the Braille displays that are out there. No one's making a 13-cell display, so take note.
I think JJ, you have begun a revolution.
I want every cell configuration covered.
Like every 14 cell, 15, 16.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, and Jane, you were asking also about launchers. I use Nova Launcher, but Apex Launcher apparently is also accessible, though I haven't played with it. But listen to my review in this month's TAS, of course, and you've probably already heard it because I think the mailbox is after the review. I hope that was of use to you as well.
Thanks, Jane. Let's go to a question on the Droid 4.
Hey, my name is Brandon, and I'm using the Droid 4. I just heard the last episode of that Android show where it talked about using mobile accessibility. You know, you could answer and hang up calls with a volume button. Question, does that mean you have to be inside mobile accessibility to do it? Or do you have to have mobile accessibility installed without being inside the application to answer and hang up calls? Because I tried it the one way outside and it didn't work. Anyway, hope you guys can get back to me on this one.
So my hunch is no, you don't have to be inside mobile accessibility. Now, mind you, none of us are using mobile accessibility anymore because why? Would we use mobile accessibility? But I understand that, okay, no, there's a need for it. I understand that some users like it and the simplicity. Theoretically, on my older 2.3 phone, when I used it, you could do volume keys to answer calls anywhere in the phone. I think you had to enable a setting, but you could do it anywhere. Now, whether or not the Droid 4 does something to muck that up, I don't know.
But it's a good idea for our listeners who do use mobile accessibility and have Droid 4 to jump in and let us know. Because I know that when I was using mobile accessibility on a Droid device, it was kind of buggy for me and it didn't always work. So I don't know if this is a Motorola thing or what. So if our listeners who use mobile accessibility on a Droid 4 can answer this question, that would be beautiful.
Also, a quick shout out to Ben and Tony, who gave us some nice combinations on the app special. So thanks for listening. We appreciate it. We got a couple emails as well. Not much this time. We didn't get an email from Mike, so I don't know if our email server is broken. But
Mike, you're a good guy. Don't listen to such bad children. Anyway, we did get two emails from Carolyn. And she actually asked a question and answered it, but I want to share her email because she has some good things to say. Now, basically, she was new to Android, and she was having trouble finding information on the accessibility gestures and how to use her device. We did post a link back when we had our Nexus 7 special. The problem is that website has moved, so our show notes will include a new link with that information. In general, to find the help information for Android accessibility, you want to type something like Android accessibility Google Help, or you want to type the name of the newest Nexus device. Right now it's the Nexus 4. So you would type in Nexus 4 accessibility help.
Accessibility gesture or something, yeah.
Yeah, something like that when you do a Google search, and it should come up. It should be one of the first results. So we'll go ahead and put the new link in the show notes.
Can you not now just go to google.com/accessibility? I think that works now.
Oh, does it? I haven't tried that.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Excellent.
It's got the whole...
Well, now you made Joe's job easier. You just put that in the show notes, Joe. Okay. There you go.
Google.com/accessibility. There you go.
Swami gives us work. Wisdom. Yes.
Yeah.
And the other thing that Carolyn says is that she found the manual. And this is really important, people. When you're new, your device has a manual. In most cases, these manuals are available online.
What's this manual you speak of?
He works for me.
That's good. No. Seriously, though. In all seriousness, though, yeah, read the manuals. They really do. I have read this manual. Not the whole thing, but at least the accessibility part. And you can glean a lot.
Yeah.
And the thing is, these manuals are not War and Peace. I mean, they give you simple lists of things to do. I know that, the first couple of times I ever read a manual, I was expecting to have to read for 3 hours just to learn to turn something on or off. And manuals are not dense. You know, you just, once you get into the hang of them, they're actually kind of cool. So always try to look for the manual for your device and check it out. Now we have an email from David Harvey, and he caught me making a mistake. My goodness, I never make mistakes. I guess the rest of my life will be perfect. So anyway, thanks for thinking I've only made one mistake. You're my number one fan. And actually, we do have one more email, and that's from Phil. And he was having trouble finding some of the options on his device. So just as a tip, when you have your device, you know, a lot of screens have, you know, options either laid out in a grid or in a list, but there are usually more options. So if you think there might be more options, or if the options go all the way to the bottom of the screen, always try swiping up with two fingers or swiping to the left with two fingers, and you will find more options.
And also, well, with latest TalkBack, it's going to auto-scroll in most situations too, so that'll help you get to that accessibility option in settings, which is not on the first screen. So here's the Musico demo. As you're going through a list view, this is one of the coolest things that I love on TalkBack, you get this ascending tones. So it starts out, doom, do 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 do, and it goes all the way up to doop, doop, or up there somewhere. So if you hear those tones and it's nowhere near that doop, then you know there's more to the list or to the page. Does that make sense? Was that a good demo?
Yeah. I'm having trouble getting past the guest appearance of Axl Rose on our show.
They're called earcons, and that's what they are. And they actually are quite useful if you pay attention
really
to those sounds.
They really are.
Earcons. Where do we go now?
So
anyway,
I think that
do send us your mailbag questions. You know, hey, send us your mailbag questions because you never. So sometimes, some months we get lots of them, and some months we don't get too many. So hey, the more the better. The more the better, and. You know, we will do our best to try to get answers to you and help you out. We had one on the Twitter from Michael, who wanted to know, can 4.3 be installed to any unlocked phone currently running 4.1, such as the Samsung Galaxy S3 Mini? Well, not officially. No. You're going to have Cyanogen mods.
Yeah, you can via the mods when they come out.
And you need to find the Cyanogen mod that is right for your device.
Your phone.
And there isn't a 4.3 one yet.
It's a bit of a black art if you're going to go into that.
Right. A lot of your 4.1 phones probably won't get 4.3. The phones that got pushed from 4.0 to 4.1 are probably not getting 4.3. Your Galaxy S4, your HTC One, maybe the S3, some of them will.
Yeah.
But, you know, like we said before, the update isn't as important as it used to be, the Android version. I mean, there are some things that would be awesome.
Kind of, yeah. But, I mean, 4.3 does fix some framework issues, and you won't get the nice speed improvements in TalkBack and things like that, unfortunately.
Exactly. Well, that's going to do it, I think, right? And this is the end of Taz 18. Do we have any Google Glass stories? No?
No, I don't think we do.
Okay, I think we're done then. But thank you all for listening for another fun-filled and fun-packed Android show. We'll be back with a lot more Android 4.3 coverage and talking about the latest phones. There's some new Motorola's coming out, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot more coming out in the next couple months. So definitely stay tuned. Keep those comments coming, and thank you all for listening to one of the SPN's most popular listen-to podcasts. We really do appreciate your support. I'm JJ Metal. If you want to get a hold of me, the easiest way is over at blindbargains.com, where we do post a lot of news and information about Android. Again, that's over at blindbargains.com or at blindbargains on Twitter.
And I'm Access Anna. I'm in the process of updating my blog, so you'll get more information about that later this year.
And I'm Steve. I used to be the Blind Geek, now Droidy Man, because I felt like a change. And you'll find me at www.comproom.co.uk.
That's going to do it, folks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.